Nice to see you all bundled up and out of here in the cold. Let me remind you, now that you need to be reminded, but the teaching of divine science is founded on the omnipresence of God and what it means to live from within this truth. Keeping that in mind, when Paul reminds us of the one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in us all, what he is doing is speaking of our spiritual heritage. He is speaking about our spiritual soul, the nature of our being. Our Father, which is in heaven, in the midst of us, that is ever with us and in us, as if to say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What this means, when we stop to think about it, is that at this very moment we can make contact with God. Because God is not someplace out in space or in some temple in some jungle, but constitutes the very nature of our being. What have we been told? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And so it is that our only challenge is that we become so still that we can feel the awakening of this holy and sacred presence that is revealing itself in its holy temple as the answer to every human need. So at this time I ask you to turn to that statement of being that you will find on page 2 of your Sunday program, because this will be our opportunity to turn to that holy temple for personal contemplation and meditation. Let us begin. God is all, both invisible and visible. One presence, one mind, one power is all. This one that is all is perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is the individualized expression of God and is ever one with his perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance.
this time, I would like to ask our ushers to please come forward for the offertory. God, for the gift of life and for the gift of a love that allows us to share this life with one another, for this blessing, O most gracious God, we give you thanks. I do not know if you remember, and of course we're still doing it today, but religions all over the world have insisted that as long as we go to church every Sunday and are nice to our parents and give generously to certain causes, especially to the churches themselves, that to this extent, God is going to reward us. If not here on earth, then someplace called heaven after we die. Now, there are thousands upon thousands of people who do this religiously. They send their children to religious schools. They are kind to everyone, neighbors, family, friends, colleagues. They are respectful, courteous, honest, and they give generously. They try to do what the church tells them to do. But sooner or later, these individuals discover that no matter how it is that they live their lives, God is still an unknown presence in their experiences. And so what happens then is that people get cynical. They stop going to church. And they lose interest in their religion, in all religions. And eventually these individuals settle for a life that has little to do with any kind of religious activity, outside of Christmas, of course. But then even this event called Christmas becomes an opportunity to go out and do some shopping. As a matter of fact, this past week, came across an article, two articles, as a matter of fact, that mentioned the decline of church attendance. I found this interesting. It said that less than 20% of Christians, 17 as a matter of fact, regularly attend church. 17%. Now many countries, and I believe that France is one of them, have become rather secular countries, meaning that as a rule, they do not attend church. They've basically become non-religious, materialistic, worldly. As a matter of fact, they take the attitude that what you see is what you get. This idea of an invisible God, a presence, truth, spirit, myths, that what you see is what life is all about. A little bit of happiness and a little bit of unhappiness. A little bit of health and a little bit of sickness. Good days, bad days. Success that is balanced with a little bit of failure. As a matter of fact, I'm quite sure that you've seen some of these bumper stickers in cars around here in the city. They basically say, go to the church of your choice. Eat the right foods. Exercise, and then die. Not only is this being cynical, it borders on being fatalistic. And even in divine science, our church, so if someone is in need of help and they turn to a minister or to a practitioner and do not get the desired results, what comes to their minds is that these individuals did not pray hard enough. They did answer their prayers. But that's not the case at all. Let's shift gears a little bit. It is written in Scripture, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. Not only is this, quote, spirit living us now, it contains the answer to every human need, which means that there is no end to you. There is no end to this spirit, therefore there is no end to you. Let me explain. What we see as a human birth and a human death are simply two events in the eternal life of a soul. There is no beginning and there is no end, because there is no beginning and end to God, nor the Spirit of God.
This entire process is continuous, ongoing, ever flowing. And it ends when that man whose breath is in his nostrils becomes that man whose being is in Christ. It is a process that takes us from Adam to Christ. And what takes place between the so-called birth and so-called death is why we're here today. And what takes place is the opportunity to build that consciousness that turns Adam into Christ. It's as simple as that. And I say to you that that's what divine science is all about. Attaining a measure of that mind that was in the Christ of Jesus. We are here to build that mind that turns Adam into Christ, the ugly duckling into the beautiful swan. And to build this consciousness means that we have to lift our awareness of life to something that is higher and finer than what is evident at the moment. We are not here to accumulate things. We are not here to make things happen. As a matter of fact, we're not here to make sick people well or poor people rich, but to know the truth that heals the sick and feeds the hungry and forgives the sinner. Using the Bible words, we are here to lift our eyes toward heaven. Now, I have a feeling that a lot of people measure the good life by the money they have in the bank and by their status in life. Success is many times determined by where they are in their careers, without ever realizing that these are what the Bible calls the added things. The result of our uplifted eyes. In other words, we are here to lift our eyes beyond the so-called added things and to the cause of these things themselves. This morning, as a matter of fact, every single day of our lives, we have an opportunity to make contact with this holy and sacred presence that indwells us, that already contains the answer to every human need. And that contact begins as a silence that only we ourselves, individually, can develop. No one can do this for us. All spiritual growth, all unfoldment is an individual experience. It's not a mass situation. Example, we all have a mind that we call our own. And our mind is unlike any other mind, like snowflakes. Each mind is different. And it is different because of what we choose to place in it day after day and moment by moment. No one can stop you from thinking your own thoughts, because these thoughts are always subject to us. Every time I say this, I'm reminded of fishermen, and you've heard the story before. A fisherman chooses what fish to keep and what fish to throw back into the water. That fisherman is always in charge. No one tells him what to do. And the fish have no choice in the matter. The thoughts that come to you are subject to you. You are always in charge. Now, divine science teaches that the source of answered prayer is within each one of us. This source is not a physical thing, nor is it a mental thing. It's an awareness. It is a knowingness. Divine science refers to it as a state of consciousness. But a state of consciousness that has quieted and stilled every thought. It is a silence. And the contact with this holy presence that we call the Spirit of God This contact is made in the deep silence of our own being. That's how we make contact with it. Which is why we are told, seek first this mind, this silence, this awareness, and the things shall be added unto you. Everything that takes place around us, whether pleasant or unpleasant, is always the result of what is taking place within our own consciousness. The outer is always the effect. There's nothing to do with it or to it, any more than you do anything with a shadow. It is the result of what we have chosen to place in our minds, either intentionally or through ignorance or through the lack of discipline. But always, always, the outer is a reflection of an activity that is taking place within us. We never see things as they are, but as we are in consciousness. Now, I dare say that when most people pray for a healing, it is always considered a physical thing, something that relates to the body. But this is not the case at all. Healings have nothing to do with the body. And I'll say it again. Healings have nothing to do with the body. Healings have nothing to do with the physical change of any kind. That's the effect. That's the consequence. That's the shadow our minds are casting out here in life. And as long as we are focusing on the effect, on the appearance, the shadows, nothing is going to change. It is a matter of changing the focus of our attention. Because as long as we are focusing on the outer, we are missing the point in building consciousness, which is why we are here in the first place. We are not here to increase the money in our pockets or to bring about a better relationship, but to become aware of the presence of the Spirit of God that indwells every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. In other words, we are here for the same reason that the man Jesus came to earth. Quote, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Not to bear witness to a better body, or to better income, or to a better career, but to bear witness to this holy and sacred presence in the midst of us. Now, there is a tendency to associate healing with the physical body, as I said before. But so-called healings go much further than that. I much prefer to use the word wholeness rather than healing, because wholeness to me encompasses so much more. It covers an entire facet of life. For example, when we speak of the world, we're not talking about just a little part of it, but about the whole thing, the oceans, the mountains, the waters, everything, the people, the animals, everything that is contained in it and on it, all of the collective parts, which is something to think about. It is written in Scripture, "I am the Lord God that healeth thee. Behold, I make all things new." What this means is that our thoughts do not and cannot create what already is. Health is here and now because God is here and now. It's not a matter of bringing it from anywhere. It's a matter of realizing what is here and now. And it is our thinking, our sense of identification that brings us into the awareness that health is nothing more than the personal realization of God in the midst of us. And at the instant that that realization takes place, wholeness is, whether in the home, in the body, in our careers, in our studies,
in our relationships. You know the law, you've heard it enough. Almost every Sunday you hear it said, as in mind, so in manifestation. As within, so without. God in mind is answered prayer in your life. It is the law of the Spirit of life that sets you free from the law of the world. Prove me now, saith the law, and I will bless and heal and restore. What this means is that what the Spirit of God is stirring in the deep silence of an individual. In that individual, there will be no hurt. And if there is, it won't last. In that individual, there will be no arguments. And if there are, they'll have nothing to do with him or her. There will be no lack. And if there is, when a door closes, another one will open. Which is why in divine science, when a request for prayer comes in, no consideration is given to the request at all. Because the problem is not what matters, but the answer. So instantly, either the minister or the practitioner will know that the problem is nothing more than the absence of God in the mind of that individual. And that absence is going to reveal itself in the body or in some facet of that individual's environment. It will reveal itself as something less than all of the parts. And this that is less has a name. At times we call it disease. At times we call it unemployment. At times we call it loneliness. So what to do? What are you going to do to address that particular problem in your life? The answer is so simple, but we keep missing it. Let me ask you. If you walk into a darkened room, what would you do? You know what you're going to do? You're not even going to give it a thought, because you would instinctively look for the light switch. You do nothing to the darkness. You will acknowledge it, but you will ignore it, because there is nothing to do to the darkness. Inwardly, you already know that it is the absence of light. So what do? Look for some light. A match, flashlight, the light switch. And that light will show you that there was nothing ever to do with that darkness in the first place. So why waste your time analyzing, rationalizing, justifying the darkness? The disease, the lack, the fear, the inharmony. Lift your eyes towards the light. And where is the light? In that silence, in the deep center of your own being. Our prayers in divine science are based on the truth that man is a spiritual being, already one with God from the beginning. And this has never changed, regardless of what is taking place in your life at this very moment. And again, it is the realization of truth that brings about a sense of wholeness in our lives. We all know that in the medical field, there are specialists in just about every part of the body. Podiatrists, dermatologists, urologists, cardiologists. As well as outside of the body. We have financial advisors. We have automobile mechanics. We have lawyers, accountants. And the list goes on and on and on without end. But in spiritual healing, no thought is given to any part of the body or any facet of our environment. Because as we keep trying to let you know that our entire visible environment
is merely the outpicturing of a very specific state of consciousness. And if in that consciousness there is no trace of God, how great is that darkness? And that darkness, as I've been saying, is not limited to the body, but to our entire human environment. Our entire human environment will be touched by that darkness. Not only a facet of it, but the entire facet of it. I once knew a lady. As a matter of fact, I lived in the same neighborhood in which she did. One day we had a conversation. Actually, she just wanted to complain about her husband. During the course of that conversation, she happened to say how she wished that her husband would be a little bit more like one of our neighbors. I knew the neighbor she was talking about. He was always working around the house, fixing things, mowing the lawn, painting. But I also knew that that man had problems, mental and emotional problems. And I asked the lady if she was aware of the problem that this individual had. And she said, yes, I am aware. But I want my husband to have only the good parts of my neighbor. Life isn't a cafeteria. You cannot choose this, but not that. When the sun shines, when the rain falls, they shine and they fall on all things. They are no respecters of people, places, religions, cultures. The rain and the sun do not choose on who to shine on and who to rain on. It shines on everything. And so when you make contact with this spiritual substance we call the Spirit of God, the wholeness, the whole of it, it touches every single facet of our lives. And so it is the divine science reveals two things to us. One, that healing is not a physical process. It is a realization. It is something, an activity that takes place in mind. And number two, it reveals that we pray not to get rid of diseases or negatives, but that the presence of God be realized. And the constant practice of turning within, of taking no thoughts, of becoming still. This practice is what Paul referred to as praying without ceasing. And this is what we call in divine science, building consciousness. I believe that this process is so simple because there's nothing to do with disease. There's nothing to do with inharmony or fear. There's nothing to do with lack or limitation, but to immerse ourselves in that silence with our whole heart and mind and strength. And the presence in that silence already knows what you have need of before you ask. I don't know if you've ever been aware of this, but when we study scripture, you will discover that Jesus never asked if whoever was turning to him, whether he had or she had a fever. He never asked for the name of the disease. He never asked if it was contagious. All he did was lift his eyes towards heaven, which means that he gave his entire attention to the indwelling Spirit of God in the midst of him, to that which doeth the works. What we are trying to say this morning is that the so-called miracles were all, every one of them, merely incidental to that mind that was centered on God. You know, occasionally someone will call the church office
or a minister or a practitioner, and they will say, "Would you say a prayer for me?" Or they will say, "Will you hold me in your thoughts?" Or they will say, "Speak the word for me." What these individuals are really saying is, I am aware that the omnipresence of God means that God is everywhere. I know that God is right where I am. But right now, I've lost it. I've gotten so involved with the world that I forgot the meaning of the word omnipresence. Which means that God is right where you are. My friends, we are here this morning to build consciousness. We are here this morning to get some measure of that mind that was in the Christ Jesus. We are here this morning to build a conscious awareness of the presence of God Himself. We are here this morning to establish a very personal and intimate relationship with God. This is why we're here this morning. To remind ourselves that the power and the Spirit of God and the mind that was in Christ Jesus is with us and in us right now. It is in the deep silence at the center of our being. And so I say to you that our challenge for the coming days and for the coming years is for us not to bring God down to an imperfect situation or condition, but that we be lifted up into that realm of pure spirit, infinite intelligence, and the only power over which there is no other power. What I am saying to you this morning is that we're here to build an awareness that the Father and I are one. And besides there is one, there is no other power nor presence. And so I say to you this morning, take no thought for the things of the world. Simply shut the door to your world. And allow yourself to be led into that holy of holies, where you will find yourself absorbed, saturated, and totally immersed in the Spirit of God. And it is in this spiritual silence that you are healed, that you are blessed, and that you are restored. And you too will know what the man Jesus meant when he said, that the Father and I are one. So we begin this practice this morning. Will you now join me for a closing meditation? It will be a moment where we will be in silence. As the Master said, enter your closet and shut the door. Take no thought for what you shall eat, drink, or wherewithal you shall be clothed. Simply be still. Be still. And know that God is here. With all of His love and all of His wisdom and all of His power. Saying to you in such a personal way, be still, my beloved. Be still. And know that I am God. Father, I do give you thanks that you have heard me. I know that you hear me always. For this blessing, I give you thanks. Amen. And so it is that the Lord God in the midst of you blesses you and keeps you. It shines its love upon you and is gracious unto you. For it lifts your